Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tony Yaya. You're in tune to the Street News Network. You know we're going to do it the way we always do it. Today is a headbanger for sure, so you might want to make sure that you're laced up and you're strapped up well, got your headgear on, because we're coming to you, and we're going to hurt a little bit, and it's intentional. So brace up. Here we go. Let's get it. Today, ladies and gentlemen, is the day that we have been waiting for, and that is to hear the verdict in the trial against Derek Chauvin, who is the murderer, and I guess cat's out the bag, right? Who is the murderer of George Floyd. He used to be a police officer. Well, he used to be a dude wearing the police officer's uniform. He was never a police officer. Because he never took the job seriously, he never took the job for real, and he never intended to follow the rules and regulations of the game. Nope. He is one of those good old boys that I've been telling you guys about for over a year now, since we've been doing this podcast. He's one of those good old boys who got into the system simply because he wanted to kill black people. He wanted to hurt black people. He wanted to get black people off the streets. And he did it. He did it. And it didn't matter to him how he went about doing it, all the way down to murder. And I guess he felt like, because of, just like some of his other friends in the police force all over this nation who have gotten off on similar, if not the same, charges, he thought that the blue shield was going to protect him as well. He thought that he was covered. He thought that the three or four other officers on the scene with him were going to cover his story and going to protect him. Well, three of those officers, their trial is coming up next. And now they know what he got. And they know what is going to be stacked against them. Some of the same evidence that was put on against Chauvin will be used to indict and hopefully find them guilty as well. Because let's be honest, folks, while a couple of the officers may have said something that was questionable, a couple of them did, they spoke up and they said, you know, one officer says, do you think we need to put him, roll him over on his side? Chauvin says, nah, he's all right. But that officer didn't push. The officer didn't say, no, let's put him over on his side. He's already cuffed. He didn't insist on it. He decided to roll with what Chauvin decided for the rest of them. They allowed this guy, Chauvin, to dictate their future as police officers, as law-abiding citizens. They allowed Chauvin to ruin that for them. They gave in to him. They let him have their freedom. The other officer says, after being yelled at by people on the sidelines, yelling and saying, please get off of him, let him go. He's not responding. Check his pulse. Even an off-duty fireman came over and asked to help out. And they refused to allow a fellow officer to help out in this case, to take his pulse, to check for responsiveness. They go like, no, we good. We got it. You get on the sidewalk. Stand on the sidewalk. But one of the officers, after being yelled at by bystanders saying, check his pulse, he reached over twice to check Floyd's pulse and then said, I can't find a pulse. I can't find a pulse. Now, the amazing thing about that is this. It didn't do anything to Chauvin. It didn't make Chauvin get off of Floyd's neck or his upper back with his right knee. It didn't make him change his stance at all. And to add insult to injury, he was talking about, you know, his attorney said that, you know, he was afraid for his life. And so therefore he took out his pepper spray. He took it out, but he didn't use it. He was that afraid, but he didn't use it. Here's the most important thing, though. Not only did he not use the pepper spray that he took out to use, but he didn't get off of Floyd's neck in an attempt to use it. No, he stayed put. And the magic number is 9:29. 9 minutes and 29 seconds is the amount of time he applied pressure on Floyd's neck, depriving him slowly of life. And now, today of all days, this is the day Chauvin met his match. He was found guilty by a jury of his peers. Guilty on all three counts. Now, the judge who, well, I don't know the judge, so I'm not going to say anything about the judge. But the judge, I guess, using the process, is going to wait 2 months before he tells Chauvin what his punishment is. Now, the prosecution said we would like for his bail to be remanded or restricted or done away with, that there's no bail, and that he is remanded to the custody of the prison system, which means he can't go out on bail. There is no bail, and he can't get free. So there ain't no bailing him out. He's going to have to ride these eight weeks while he waits to find out what his sentence is. And I guess during that time, his attorney's going to be working toward trying to create an appeal for him. The problem is, as the prosecution said to the jury in closing remarks, is don't forget what you saw. Don't forget what you saw. It was right there. Believe what you saw. It's true. What you saw is real. It's real. And they came back with a guilty plea. Now, so the argument is they're going to try to appeal it, you know, which is understandable. That's what you do when, you know, your client is guilty and you want to appeal it to try to get a lesser sentence or possibly get it thrown out. Well, you know, this was a case that that Chauvin's attorney couldn't really even... He couldn't even try this case. I mean, the evidence was so overwhelming. He was grasping at straws, and as so many pundits said on TV and in the news, he was throwing spaghetti against the wall, hoping that the marinara was thick enough to make something stick. But he couldn't find anything to stick. He threw all kind of caution to the wind. He accused Floyd, said, well, you know, he died from drug abuse. He died from coronary disease. You know, he had oxygen because they gave him oxygen in the ambulance, you know. So that's why the coroner was able to say, no, he had 98% oxygen in his system. But we believe that he died from asphyxiation from the exhaust on the police car that he was down on. So, you know, not to retry this or rehash this, but, you know, let's look at a few things, at least a few things, okay? And this is just for the fun of it, because he's already been tried, Chauvin has, and found guilty, but just for the fun of it. So, here's the thing. So, if you look back at the video and you saw George Floyd laying on the ground, face down, by the police car that was still running, there were several other officers there in addition to Chauvin. Chauvin was, of course, with his knee on his neck and his knee on his right knee on his upper back holding him down while he was still cuffed. But they were at the front of the police car, not in front of the police car, but on the driver's side, front driver's side wheel. That's where Chauvin was, and that's where Floyd's head was. Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong, and I stand corrected, but I'm willing to believe, I'm going out on a limb. One of y'all call me, correct me. Well, don't call me, email me and correct me. The exhaust on that vehicle is at the back of the vehicle. It's at the back. It's behind the back tires. Okay? Correct me if I'm wrong on that one, maybe the police department vehicles, in Minneapolis, the exhaust is up front. But to me, when I looked at the other vehicles that they showed in the video, the exhaust was in the back. Now, here's something that's really fascinating about it. Here's where I want you to just go with me. Just take this little field trip with me. You had one of the police officers who was holding down Floyd's feet. Now, it said Floyd was about 6 feet long, okay, 6 feet tall. So that would make, if he's laying down, he's 6 feet long. The officer who was at Floyd's feet, wouldn't he be the one person who is suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning as a result of the exhaust coming from the vehicle and not Floyd? In fact, because of the way he was situated, his back and head area is blocking the exhaust from getting to Floyd. Some of it could have gone under the car, crawled under the car, and came up to Floyd. But the bulk of it was being hit by this police officer. So why was he not suffering from oxygen deprivation and carbon monoxide poisoning? And if he was, how come nobody cared? How come nobody who, all of these guys were right there, one of the police officers was right there at the driver's door. Why didn't he reach in and say, let me cut the car off, dude, so you don't choke? Didn't do it. He didn't even help his partners. They were so intent on killing Floyd, they didn't even look out for themselves. They didn't even help themselves. It's amazing. But, so he's been found guilty. Chauvin's been found guilty. Rightfully so, he's been found guilty. But what does that mean now? What does that say to us now? What does that do? What does that change America? Does that change the way we do things? Does that change who we are, the way we are? Or will this just be we got one? Here's your token. Here's your OJ. Here's your white OJ. You've been looking for one. Here's your white OJ. We got him for OJ. Okay? So, it's absolutely crazy. Now, last week and the week before the verdict, because depending on when you're listening to this podcast, but the week before the verdict, another young man was killed by a police officer. And I'm going to say some stuff that's going to be confusing to you in regards to that death of that young man. I want to say some stuff that's going to be confusing. And go ahead and start typing up your emails and call me names and say nasty, ugly, rude things about me, to me, towards me. I'm okay with that. I'm big enough. I can handle it. It's not what you're called. It's what you answer to. So, take your best shot. Shoot it off if you need to. Okay. But don't be violent about it. Okay. I can accept anything that you say. Just don't be violent. Don't touch me. Don't touch me or anybody that's connected to me. That's all I'm going to say on that. But in regards to the young man, Dante, who was killed by a police officer, who was a police officer, a veteran police officer, who thought she had grabbed her taser. In fact, she yelled 3 times on the video, taser, taser, taser. And then shot the young man with her handgun, to which he died. As a result of, the young lady resigned her position as a police officer before she had a chance to get fired from being a police officer. The captain of the police department said he had no intentions of resigning as a result of this because, he is not a part of the process. They have, in Minneapolis, they have their own internal affairs branch that is supposed to look into this and investigate it. And he says his best guess based on the information that he has is that this was a legitimate accident. Now, we can say that, how can you say this was an accident? How can you say it was an accident? The weight of a handgun is far different than the weight of a taser. The shape of a handgun is far different than the shape of a taser. So how could she mistaken her taser for her handgun? And here's the other one. How is it possible for her to be staring down the barrel of her own handgun, making sure that she has proper aim, and still think it's a taser? How's that possible? The chief said he thought it was. He thought it was possible. It was a mistake. She made a mistake. So she retired. She resigned her position because it bothered her. Now, in the video, you can hear her right after she fired the shot. You could hear her saying, "Oh, expletive, I shot him." Which meant right off the bat, she felt guilty. She felt remorseful right after she shot him. So that could lend its hand to the fact that she says that the chief says that it was an accident. It's possible. It is. It's possible that it was an accident. It's possible that she was remorseful for what she had done. It is highly possible she had no intentions of shooting that young man. No intentions of shooting him. No intentions. I can believe that. I can. Because mistakes can happen. But this is a monumental mistake. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm displacing it, that I'm catering to her. I'm just admitting the fact that mistakes can happen, because who among us has not made one? Who among us has not made a big mistake? Now, big is a relative phrase. However, this one is big because a young man ended up dying as a result of that mistake that she may have made. I don't know the young lady. I don't know her. I didn't know anything about her until this case came to news. Any more so than I knew anything about Derek Chauvin. But Derek Chauvin got played out. Plain and simple. He had no remorse. He had no remorse before, during, and after he committed murder. This young lady did. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going to tell you something that you've heard already. And I don't know whether you believe it or not, but I think you should. Doing police work is not as easy as it looks. I know you're thinking, well, you kill enough black folks, it'll soon get easy. I know. That sounded good to say, didn't it? Sounded good for you to hear that, right? But it's not true. There's no truth to that. Okay? I would go so far as to say that 90 to 95% of the police department throughout the United States are good people. Now, I don't mean that they like you, but I think that you're not liked. Some of us are not liked because of who we are, not because of the color of our skin, but because some of us are just downright unlikable people. Just plain and simple. And it doesn't matter what your color is. Some people are just downright unlikable. Now, you take people like Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin is a racist. He wanted to kill, hurt, and maim black people. This young lady, I don't know that she did, because her remorse happened right after she pulled the trigger. It was high impact remorse. It was remorse to the point of resigning. Now, the mayor came on when they did the press conference, and he was asked by people of the press, "Do you think this young lady should be fired?" Young black mayor. Now, I shouldn't have to say that he was a young black mayor, but I did. But he came back, and he says that, yes, he thinks that she should lose her job. Now, this is a politician, mind you. This is not a law enforcement officer. This is a politician. And a politician has to tell the people what the people want to hear. No matter what policy and procedure exists, he has or she have to tell you what you want to hear in order to continue to get your favor and therefore your vote. So I don't hold any water for the mayor, because the mayor was only doing the people's bidding. He knew that he had a hungry crowd that wanted a white girl to be fired from her job for shooting a young black man. He knew that, and therefore he called for it. He's on record saying he thinks she should be fired. The next morning, young lady resigned. I'm willing to believe that the mayor also thought that the police chief should lose his job. Well, the next morning, guess what? He resigned. I don't know why he resigned. Maybe because of the fact that the mayor made that call out that said that he thought that she should. Now, I will tell you this, the city manager, when asked the same question, said that there is a process involved that we must go through first and foremost before we administer any type of punishment for any type of thing that has happened as a result of a city employee being engaged in a potential possible crime. There's a process that we have to do. Process is what we have to go through. And then he's pushed again. Do you think that she should have been fired? Do you personally think she should be fired? He says, if I tell you what I personally think, then that's in contradiction to what I am supposed to tell you, which is we have a due process. I can't tell you how I personally feel without violating due process. Now, you can interpret that as him saying, yeah, I think she ought to be fired, but I can't say that out loud. You can interpret that way if you so desire. But I believe the young man was trying to hold to his conviction, was trying to do the right thing and be a part of due process. Well, young lady resigned her position, as I've already said, and then she was charged with manslaughter. She got the chance to wear the orange jumpsuit. So you know right now she doesn't even care. She doesn't care. You know she's confused. You know she's lost. You know she's hurting. Now, that is not to take anything away from Dante's family at all, because they've lost even more. They have lost a young man who will never smile in front of them again, who will never laugh at them again, who will never make them laugh again, who will never cry, who will never come home and say, Mom, I'm hungry. What we got to eat? He'll never drive his girlfriend anywhere else. He'll never ride with her anywhere. He is gone. But let's take a look at something. Why is he gone? Yeah, he's gone as a result of being shot. But why was he shot? Let's go with that one. Why was he shot? It was a traffic stop. This young man was stopped because his tag was expired. Should the officers have made a better decision on this? Yeah, his tag was expired. So, you know, you don't know. I know they have a process because of COVID that everything is on backlog. I don't even understand that. For some god awful reason, everything is on backlog in the United States. We got to wait, you know, for everything now. Nobody's at work, so nothing's getting done. And I don't really get that. But there's a backlog on getting your tag, your new tag, once you have, you know, re-registered your tag for your car to get your new license plate or new sticker or whatever it is that you get for your particular state or city or county or whatever it is. But the police don't know that you've applied for the new tag. So they stop you. And then they ask you, hey, did you know that your tag has expired? And you can go, yeah. So they let, you know, Dante know his tag was expired. And then they ask to look at the same thing they asked you. Let me see your license and your registration. So when they got his license and his registration, they went back to their car and they pulled him up in the system. Now, I know you're thinking, well, why'd they pull him up in the system? Well, you pull a person up in the system to find out if there's anything else that's going on. So they pulled him up in the system and found out there was a warrant for his arrest. And it was for a minor crime. However, Dante knew he didn't show up for court. Now, you can say he forgot. That's fine, because he probably did forget. But the onus is on him. He knew he had committed whatever that crime was, and he did not show up for court. Now, let's really go out in the water for a minute. Let's say he went to court, but since COVID is happening big and heavy, they may have said, well, we're not doing in-person court appearances, so you're going to need to go online and sign up for this and get zoomed in to your trial thing and, you know, do it this way. And he went home and forgot. Okay? He didn't zoom in. And so they issued a bench warrant for him. They didn't go hunting for him at his house. They just figured, you know, hey, with COVID, we'll find him. And so they did. And so they went back to him and they said, hey, man, you know, there's a warrant for your arrest for, and then they explained to him what the charges were for and said, you know, we're going to need to cuff you. He got out of the car. He did. He got out of the car and they went to cuff him and then he resisted. You ever see that phrase? You hear the cops always say, stop resisting, stop resisting. You know, come here close a minute. Come here real close a minute. I want to tell you a secret. Okay. Whenever you see a crime going on, okay, if you see it, whether it's on television, somebody videotaped the crime and you see the perpetrator, the potential, you know, criminal, you see that person on the ground or you see that person up against a building, a car or something in a position where they cannot resist. But you hear the cops yelling, stop resisting. That's your secret right there that you're working with some racist cops. Okay? That's your secret. When they are yelling, stop resisting, and there's no way that person could be resisting because they're either on the ground already or they're up against a building so close they're almost becoming one with the building, you're talking about some racist cops and they're getting ready to do some dirt. So you heard it here first. That's how you recognize. That's one of the true signs of a racist cop. But this was one of those cases where you saw it yourself. Dante did actually resist arrest. In fact, he got loose and was getting back into the car. Now, here's a problem. And I know you already, some of y'all done already spun off some emails to me already. And you're trying to type up some more. You're going to burn your little fingers off to try to type it up. Okay? Here's one of those situations. The police are trying to apprehend a young man. They're trying to arrest him. They're issuing a warrant for him, which means you're going to ride with us instead of riding with your car. Okay, we got to take you in because we got orders to take you in. Now, this is probably going to be something real small. You could call your mama and tell your mama, they caught me and they got me in this for this, you know, bull, you know, da, 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 da. You could do that if you want to. And it would make a lot of sense. And then your mama come bail you out and everything is all, you know, cool. But he didn't choose that avenue. He chose to fight and to try to flee. Now, as you race to get back into the car, the police don't know that you're racing to get back in the car just so you can drive away. There is that possibility that you're racing to get back into the car to get something that may hurt them. And so, therefore, the young lady yelled, taser, taser, taser. But she didn't have her taser. She had something else. She had a gun, her regular handgun. And that's what she fired at Dante. It is unfortunate. It is highly unfortunate that this is what went down. But it did. My thing, ladies and gentlemen, is this. In answering the question of why did Dante get shot, Dante got shot simply because he was refusing to be arrested. And he fought to resist and get back into the car to try to leave. Because even after he was shot, he still tried to drive off. Well, the penal system has a new inmate, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Derek Chauvin, found guilty on all three charges for killing George Floyd. Of course, we all knew it. We saw the video, so we knew that he was guilty. We just needed his peers to see the same thing. Hit us up, ladies and gentlemen, on the Street News Network. We're at streetnews@gmail.com.